Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness, we have such an exciting show today. I don't even think we're going to do our standard fare of recapping or anything.
No, this is so exciting.
Yeah, so you were talking about Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes, so I've been really, really into the show. I am Kate, and I think it's absolutely fascinating. And she, this last episode, I don't know if you caught it, but she went on a road trip with her girlfriends. And it was just really interesting because a lot of the transgendered women who have transitioned over kind of feel as if she's a little bit, she hasn't quite gotten the quote unquote normal experience of transitioning because she's come out and gotten such, you know, support and rave reviews, and she has a glam squad and a makeup
team. Such high profile. Oh my gosh, it's so nonstop.
Right. And it's been, you know, relatively easy, I guess, in that way for her. I mean, of course, it's not easy for anybody, but I think just given her socioeconomic status, she's able to have all of these things. And so a lot of the transgender women on the show were talking about how they were a little bit upset by that because they felt like if she was going to be the spokesperson, then she should really kind of know what people really go through. Like, she was a little surprised that a lot of people do sex work because they can't get jobs and things like that. So I found it really, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it must be so different to have global support about something versus just to be dealing with it in your own personal life. And probably so many people don't understand and have no clue. I mean, how do you find empathy for something that's such a different experience? So what you're saying is, Caitlin, because I don't watch the show, I'm just out of it, I guess. But to be able to have that experience and think that, you know, you just know, but no, most people don't know.
Right, exactly.
They just don't understand.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, but on the other hand, I think they were saying that they're going to enlighten her and sort of, you know, fill her in all of this. And that way she can be a spokesperson who has more of a general knowledge.
Yeah.
So I thought it was great. Yeah. Really interesting.
Wow. It's fascinating. So that inspired us for this show today. Yes. And I want to hear about how you learned of Thomas Beatty.
Yes.
It's going to be our guest today beyond just a minute. So how did you find him?
The nicest man on the planet. So what happened was, I saw on Oprah, so for those of the listeners who don't know, he was the first pregnant man, and I saw him on Oprah, and after I watched the episode, I was so touched and inspired, and I thought, God, that is so courageous and so brave. And my husband and I were watching it together, and I, you know, turned to my husband, I said, oh my God, I'm so impressed by him, like, I cannot believe this. And he said to me, Kelly, why don't you email him? I'm like, what? He's like, just, you know, find his email, tell him. I'm sure he'd be so happy to hear. And I'm like, God, you're right. So I, you know, I searched and I found his email and I just said, you know, congratulations to you. I'm so inspired. I'm so impressed. And he wrote me back and he was like, thank you so much for the support. And it was so sweet. And we've kept in touch. And so
your courage and bravery has brought this guest to our show. This is so
his
awesome.
His courage, his bravery.
Good for you, and I'm so glad. I'm going to do a little bit more of a formal introduction.
Perfect.
On Thomas Beatty is an American female-to-male transgender. In 2008, Thomas garnered worldwide attention by becoming pregnant through artificial insemination, thereby expanding the human experience of pregnancy to men. Today, he is renowned as the pop culture icon, the world's first pregnant man, the first person to give birth fully documented as male and legally married to a woman. And according to Guinness World Records, the world's first married man to give birth. He is currently fighting an unprecedented legal battle to validate his marriage and male gender identity. Champion of human rights and cultural diversity for everyone, Thomas wants to help foster the change required for transgender people to receive full social, medical, political, and legal equality. On that note, welcome, Thomas.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited. Now, of course, I'm sitting here and I have so many questions and I want to get right into the nitty gritty, but I don't want to overwhelm you. So what would you like to start with first, Thomas? Do you want to share a little bit with our audience?
Oh, let's start talking about my penis.
Okay, I like it. Exactly.
Some interviews just... open like that. No, I'm completely open. Whatever you want to discuss. And I just have to say, you know, thanks for having me on. And I'm so flattered by what you said, Kelly.
Oh, you're so sweet. I meant every word. Really, really. Such a gem. You have a special place in my heart. Really.
Oh, it's so lovely. Yeah. So really, I mean, yeah, let's talk about your penis. If you don't mind. If I may be so bold. Okay, so female to male. I don't know this firsthand. I am born a female and still am a female. And I do have actually my one of my daughter's closest friends from preschool actually has gone through many of the changes, not the full-blown genitalia, but definitely has done. She is now a male, and he has, you know, he has hair growth on his face, and he has arms with hair, and he has, I don't know that he's had the breast change. Anyway, so having said that, I have a little bit of experience in that, but please do tell, what was the actual transition and what actually happened?
Well, different individuals choose to go through different transitions. Some people don't have any medical procedures done at all, and some people don't even do hormones. But for those who do, like for me, I started doing testosterone in the late 90s, and that essentially does all the changes you need, period. I mean, it completely and totally turns you into a guy, being an asshole and all. I mean, you grow hair everywhere. you have the structural changes down there. So what you had before, that was a clitoris, turns it enlarges and, you know, looks exactly like a penis, but just a little bit smaller.
But the vaginal opening is still there, or is that...
Yes. Unless you have surgery to change that, structurally it's still going to be like that, but it enlarges.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, were there any side effects with this? I mean, aside from, you know, being an asshole, like you said, I mean, is there any other, like, you know, do you feel headaches or dizzy or, you know, I can imagine it's a lot in your body.
Yeah, no, not for me. I mean, I've heard other guys talk about getting headaches, but for me it was a really smooth transition. I mean, it's like going through a second puberty for sure.
Okay.
Because when I was probably about 6 months into it, my voice started to crack and it was a little annoying. Like I couldn't control it, you know, and just go through different octaves all in the same sentence.
So
it's a little embarrassing, but it was a good change. I mean, you go through almost, like for me, a sexual revolution, which is weird because I had a high sex drive before, but going through that now, I mean, I completely understand the woes of the teenage boy. I mean, it's crazy stuff.
Hornier than hell all the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you got to keep a leash and chain for sure.
Like, oh my gosh.
Don't let you out after midnight.
You know, that's a great question though. So you've gone through female puberty and now male puberty. So what's the differences?
Oh, it's a great question.
Oh yeah. Yeah, big differences. And my brain, ever since taking testosterone, is changed permanently. Like, it's weird. Like, you know, just thinking about sex and those kinds of things, it's become more visual for me.
Ooh, interesting.
Wow.
Versus before, it felt more emotional as a woman?
Right, exactly. It was more emotional. Wow. Living life as female, not being exposed to testosterone. With testosterone, it's just like there's almost I'm romantic, but all that's chopped out. I mean, it's like, it's a completely different planet.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. Yep. So we really are wired differently, you know?
Yeah,
And all because of a hormone. Isn't that fascinating?
Yes, exactly.
Right? I mean, I know we have some structural differences in our brains too, so I don't know how much that would actually change. Like, I don't know the science behind this, but...
That would be a great study. I would love to know the structural changes in the brain, because I already thought like a guy before, and now I'm utterly and totally helplessly a guy. I mean, it's marked.
Wow. So
I mean, biology is biology. It changes every part of your body. I mean, your genitals, the way you think, you know, just your hair follicles, the pores, everything.
Wow.
Well, I know having had low thyroid at one point, I mean, everything was different just because of that hormone.
The one
didn't matter. And now menopausal, oh my gosh, like my whole world.
Yeah, metabolism too.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I used to work out all the time. I used to do aerobics and lift weights. But when I started doing testosterone, all I had to do was look at the chin up bar and put on muscle.
Oh,
I mean, I didn't even have to do it.
Like,
I eat pizza and everything, and I lose weight. You know, if I stop doing my testosterone, I'll drop 10-20 pounds of muscle, but it's amazing. Like, there is no excuse on the planet for biological genetic men to ever be fat. I'm serious.
Wow, that is fascinating.
Because you always hear about how men can lose weight so quickly.
Of course.
You know,
yep.
Now, yeah, it makes complete sense.
I mean, it's a little harder for everybody as we age, but yeah, it's true. It's like men can like, oh, Christopher, he eats pounds of cheese. Not like a slice of cheese.
Right.
Pounds
gotta
of
love
cheese.
The cheese.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh my gosh. I look at a piece of cheese and there go my hips.
Exactly. Get it. Exactly.
Hey, you know, all the rage is eating high fat.
That's
high
true.
High fat and protein and low sugar.
There you go.
You can eat the cheese.
Wow. So I have this is a silly question that just came to mind as you were talking. Do people look at you and say, then you have the best of both worlds or the worst of both worlds or both?
I guess it depends on the day.
Yeah. But you probably get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Both like directions. When you're a man on a period, that's probably the worst day ever.
Oh my God. No, wait. Do you still get periods?
Yeah. Do you still get your period?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. But some people
on testosterone, everything shuts down. You don't have a period anymore. But okay. Yeah, when I went off of it for pregnancy, giving birth and stuff, three times in a row, I was pregnant for 5 years essentially. Oh. Yeah, I mean, you do get your period, and you're subjected to, you know, hormones and stuff of the other kind.
Oh my God. So then, when you were pregnant and you went off the testosterone, did you start to grow breasts again?
No. That tissue was removed, so all the milk glands and ducts and everything were removed.
Can't grow back.
So, I wasn't... Yeah. No, it doesn't grow back. That kind of stuff doesn't grow back.
Okay, so no nursing. You can't nurse.
No nursing. No, I didn't breastfeed. Okay. My wife at the time, we did a process called induced lactation with her, so we brought in her milk to some extent. She was a little bit older than me, and she had to go on some hormones and herbs and drugs to do it, but she wasn't able to fully breastfeed, so... We had to revert to bottle feeding, but still it was great.
That's
amazing. The whole idea of it and just the beginning part of it.
Do you think it's easier to transition from female to male or male to female, and both emotionally and physically?
Well, I wouldn't be able to speak for male to females because I haven't gone through that. But, I hear both from each side. It seems like a lot of female to males can... I don't know what word to say, but blend in a little bit more. Mm-hmm. People don't immediately question whether or not they were born female, just because when the body changes, it's like you can't ungrow hair. You can grow hair, and then it looks normal.
I see.
But the reverse, it's like you have to go through electrolysis, and you can't take away your height. You can't take away your bone structure. You can't do those types of things, but the reverse can happen, and those reversible changes are pretty strong, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I went on a cruise to Australia and the Orient when I was about 16 years old, and there was this performer on the ship, and she was amazing. And then I was talking to her afterwards, and it occurred to me that I think this used to be a man. I was very naive that I'm 16 years old.
Sure.
This was not like something that was talked about. And it was amazing. We had this long conversation, and she's all, darling, it's all good. You know, she had the best voice. She was amazing. So she had gone through the whole process from male to female. And she said it was challenging. It was difficult, but she was glad she did. So I guess that's a really important transition for us to understand as well. Like, when did you decide? How old were you?
What was
your life like that brought you to this decision that you wanted to become a man?
You know, it's funny because when I was a kid, I was very tomboyish, and I know we live in a world where it's male or female, and anything in between is not really accepted, but back then, I didn't really care. You know, I didn't really notice, and I was just being myself, so my natural preference for things was things boys, you know, that boys gravitated toward it, like Legos, like I had a whole slew of race cars and He-Man figures and all that kind of stuff, and those were my interests. And even as a child in the sixth grade, I wanted to be in a play, and I ended up playing the lead male role. It was the night before Christmas, and I was the boy. And that was just normal to me. So I didn't realize until later that I could do something about it. Like, I went through my puberty as a teenager. My father pushed me into modeling and doing a beauty pageant and things like that. And I felt the pressure to have boyfriends, which, you know, I don't regret doing. I wasn't sexually attracted to them. I just was like, oh, I guess I have to do this type of thing. But when I went to college, I took some women's studies courses, and I was just more... I was exposed to different things, and I think I saw my first images of transgender people in the media, and I was like, oh my God, this is possible?
Uh-huh.
Like,
wow.
You can actually change your gender and live life that way? And I was like, oh my God, that's me. Like, mm-hmm. why don't I just be who I need to be? You know, this is who I am, and it yeah. doesn't matter what other people think. You know, obviously people do it, and I think this is for me, so I did it.
That's incredible. You, wow. you brought me back to something that I haven't thought about in so long. I still remember this. In first grade, we were doing a play on pilgrims and Indians, and I wanted to be an Indian, and my teacher said to me, no, the boys are Indians. You have to be a pilgrim. And it's so upsetting to me that we're such a gender, you know,
specific
society. Because I remember thinking, but no, I want to be an Indian. Like, I didn't want to be a pilgrim. I wanted to be an Indian. And it was like not an option. And it didn't occur to me that, no, you could still be an Indian, you know. And it's just really, so that brought me back. It's really interesting.
You know what drives me crazy? My own kids, like, I'm quote unquote the pregnant man. My kids separate everything into boy stuff and girl stuff. We go to McDonald's through the drive-thru. They're screaming at me, no, I want the girl toy. No, I want the boy toy. I'm like, what is a girl toy? What is a boy toy? And they're like, well, pink. Pink is for girls. I'm like, you realize that boys and girls can see pink, and pink is just a color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. it doesn't make you a girl or a boy. And so I tell them this almost on a daily basis, and they still revert back to saying, I want the girl toy.
Right.
So
wow.
pregnant man's children still are binary like that, too. It's crazy.
Well, talking about gender roles, I actually did my dissertation on bulimia, self-esteem, and gender role identity.
Oh.
And whether there was any kind of correlation between having a more masculine gender role identity as a female or uh-huh. a feminine, and if that subjected one to greater likelihood of eating disorders. I found shit. I found nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. I found no significant
oh, really?
Results
after all
about
that?
Anything. But it was really interesting, and it was a yeah. very big question in my mind, because I had this professor who actually ended up being my dissertation chair lady, and she was a wackadoo. I mean, serious.
I remember
serious
you telling about
wackadoo.
Her.
Yeah. Traumatizing. But she was like obsessed with gender role identity.
Oh, really?
I swear, if I could go back and talk to her now, I would tell her she should just become a man, because I think maybe so much of her conflict and her difficulty was because she was just trapped in a woman's body and she didn't want to be.
It's possible.
You know?
Sure.
Difficult lady, but interesting. Learned a lot from her. So how old are your kids, Thomas?
They are 5, 6, and 7.
Oh my gosh.
I know. My heart like goes out. What are their personalities
like? I think, Kelly, you should just give him yours, and then you would have, wait, no, how old is London?
London is 2.5-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my older one's 6.
It would have been funny if he could have wow. your 2, 3, 4, 5,
exactly.
6, and
7. Exactly. And then you could have the whole, yeah. What are their personalities like? And are you like overwhelmed? I'm curious about that.
Wow. Overwhelmed, that's a euphemism. I mean, I do have to say it is easier now that uh-huh. they're 5, 6, and 7 to go out to a public place or a restaurant.
Yes.
And like, I almost think I'm normal. Now we can do that. Before, when they were 1, 2, and 3, forget about it. Going out to a restaurant was something of fantasy. Like, they were just, it was so hard. But yeah, I mean, they're constantly changing. Their personalities are completely different from one another, and they're all evolving constantly, uh-huh. as all children do. But Susan, she's very into fashion and dolls and uh-huh. everything stereotypical for girls.
Uh-huh.
Austin, my first son, he's very analytical. He reminds me so much of myself
uh-huh.
when I was a child. You can rationalize with him, and he's really smart. He just got tested for the gifted program, so he's great. And then Jensen, the youngest, uh-huh. he and Austin are 13 and a half months apart. They're pretty much the same height, so everyone thinks that they're twins.
Yeah.
You know, they're Irish twins. They they look very similar. They both have blonde hair. Austin has green and Jensen has blue, but Jensen's a little challenging. I do uh-huh. have to admit, he likes to test limits and push boundaries and just see what he can get away with. So I think in part he's a little bit like me too.
So cool, I love it. Oh my god!
So as a parent now, do you have more of a tendency toward a stereotypical male parenting style, let's say, versus a female parenting style, or do you have both?
Stereotypically in that I'm a pushover, I guess.
Which could go either way, yeah.
Yeah, Susan's a little daddy's girl. No, I try to be the stern, you know, like I'm putting my foot down, no more video games. And I'm pretty good at that. When I say that's it, then that's it. Mm-hmm. But I'm very loving. Like I'm very affectionate, and I give my boys hugs and, you know, kisses all the time, and so they too are in turn affectionate. So I think that's a good thing. Amber, she cooks all the food. So I guess it's pretty stereotypical. I only eat. I don't really make the food.
And apparently can eat a lot, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And not gain.
I think our roles are pretty balanced. Like we don't have designated jobs.
Right.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Nice. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Deborah and
Coach Kelly.
And we are talking with the world famous Thomas Beatty,
yes,
who is the first pregnant man who went from being a female to a male. And he's talking to us about gender reassignment, gender identity, and all kinds of good stuff. And so please send us an email anytime. Okay, I have a big burning question.
Me too, I'm next.
So, okay, I'm going first. In college, because you said that that's when you started to really recognize that this change needed to happen. Did you have any relationships with women?
Before I started college, I found myself being attracted to females. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what to do about it. I didn't have any like support group or something that I went to. I didn't have any friends to talk to, so I just kind of let it be. And when I went to college, I was attracted once again and more to females. I did go to a lesbian support group, and there I ended up meeting my first girlfriend that I dated for a couple of weeks, and then it was over. But yeah, I mean, it was... College is just a time for exploration of all kind, you know, intellectual, emotional, everything.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
it was good.
So, I have a question about when you transitioned. How did your parents handle it?
That was my next question.
Oh,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Our great minds think alike. Yes. Go ahead.
All right. Well, my mother never got to give me feedback on that. She died when I was 12.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I would have. I think she would have been supportive.
Mm-hmm.
She was raised in San Francisco, and my aunt lives there, her sister, and she's very accepting and supportive of LGBT issues. So I have to think my mom would be like that. She had her master's in education. But my father, on the other hand, he never got it. He never really accepted it. My father... was Asian and my mom was white, so I'm biracial, and he just came from a different set of, I guess,
values,
rules and roles, and it just wasn't part of his culture to accept that. So
did you become fully estranged?
Yeah, I had a longtime girlfriend, Christine, and we'd go over for Christmases and Thanksgivings and New Year's and things like that. But my father just wasn't... It was easier for him to just consider her a friend, you know, not someone I was romantically involved with or someone that I actually wanted to marry. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a real relationship to him.
That's so sad.
That's hard.
Yeah,
that's
really it is sad. Yeah, it's sad.
I always think that at some point a parent would just kind of just let that go and just become accepting, but it's sad, but people get so stuck in their ways and their values that they won't budge.
Yeah, it blows me away, because being a parent now, I mean, it's hard to see how you're going to be when you are a parent, but being one now, oh my God, like, whatever my children choose to do, whoever they choose to fall in love with, whoever they identify on the inside with, I'm going to be all for that. Like, whatever their favorite color is, that's going to be my favorite color. You know,
sure.
I just can't imagine not supporting your children unconditionally and loving them and supporting them. It just seems alien to me.
Yeah. They are so lucky to have you.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. No, really.
Thank you. No, I'm lucky to have them. They are my purpose and meaning in life, for sure.
Yeah.
Aww.
So sweet.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful that you're here talking to us.
Yeah.
It's beautiful that we get to share about this topic. I don't think it's well discussed anywhere.
Right,
you know?
Right,
and
right.
So,
well,
you know?
I actually do feel like there is a huge change right now. And tell me if you agree, Thomas, with the whole Caitlyn Jenner situation, do you feel like you have seen changes more quickly in society, people being more accepting? I'd love to know your viewpoint on that.
Absolutely. I think right now we're starting to see a huge shift. When I gave birth, I had little to zero support. And people looked at me like I was crazy. You know, I made it on the front cover of the National Enquirer. But now you see so many people coming out and transitioning and celebrities doing it. Mm-hmm. So the dialogue has begun and people are becoming more culturally sensitive to this issue.
Right.
Now, did you give birth vaginally to all three or cesareans?
I had naturally all three of the children.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, epidural or not?
Well, the first one was an epidural, but I was in labor for 48 hours. So Nancy, my wife at the time, said, "Now you know, you have to listen to me. I've been through this. You need to go through. When you think you're going to give birth, just stay home until you can't take anymore." I'm like, "What?"
Right.
So I stayed home going through these contractions like every 3 to 5 minutes. I'm like, I think we should go to the hospital. And then finally we did after 24 hours. And when I went in, they gave me an epidural thinking that I was going to have the baby. Because I was fully dilated face to all that, and it didn't happen. So they gave me Pitocin, which was supposed to make the uterus contract harder to, you know, allow me to have her, and it didn't happen. I almost had an emergency C-section because my uterus is so fatigued, and I was in labor for so long. I mean, the amniotic fluid was all, you know, left a long time ago, and so it kind of got to an emergency point where they used the... they used like a suction cup on her, but they were going to cut me open. And the doctor said, if you don't push and get her out right now, we're cutting you open. And miraculously, I pushed and she came right out. So,
oh my God, that's incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but that was an epidural. However, I have to say it wore off, so I felt every second of it, every millisecond of it. I mean, that was the worst pain I'd ever experienced in my entire life.
Oh my, yeah.
And then Austin, I had the epidural. He was planned, and I remember when I gave birth to him, I didn't feel a thing, and I was like, I want 10 of them, and I was like on this weird high. And then the last one, Jensen, I was only in labor for an hour, and most of it was at home, so I almost had him in the car going over, and when I walked in, I was just ready to go, and then so that they said, you can't have an epidural, you're about to give birth. I'm like, what? I signed up for this thinking I was going to get an epidural.
Right, exactly.
Oh my goodness.
What is that high?
Yeah,
then?
I didn't think I could do it.
That's great.
Wow.
Are you done or any more kids in the future?
Well, I'm 41. I think I'm done. We did try. I tried after Jensen and with my fiance now, Amber. Mm-hmm. We've tried IVF a few times, and we really want to have a child together. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I have old eggs now.
Right. Right. Oh, that's it's scary to think because it's like we don't feel that old, and you know, not in my 40s, but it's like you don't feel. But it's scary how biology. You know,
does Amber want to have a child?
Yeah, she does. She has two grown adults, and she's always wanted a third child. I do still have some of the same donor sperm that I had to create my children, and I've gone through two different cycles of harvesting my own eggs while with Amber, and we did try. She did get pregnant one time, and it didn't work. So it's been an emotional roller coaster. So we're not completely done trying. I don't know how possible it's going to be. She's 45, but if she does carry, I mean, she's still capable of carrying. We can't use her eggs probably because that would be a long shot. And this kind of stuff is really pricey. So we'll either try my eggs one more time or use donor eggs in the donor sperm.
Wow. But congratulations on the engagement. That's fantastic.
How long have you and Amber
together? Yeah, well, as soon as I get divorced, which is a weird thing to say.
How long have you
guys
been
together? I've been going through this epic divorce battle for 3.5 years. I don't know if you guys remember the story, but I filed for separation, and I was converted to a divorce. The judge here in Arizona decided, oh, I know who you are. You're that freak that gave birth. You're not a real guy. I'm not going to give you a divorce. So we appealed it. I appealed it with the help of my attorneys and the Transgender Law Center, and won. It took a long time, but we fought it and won. So it got reversed and remanded back to the lower court, saying that, no, Thomas Beatty was a man. This is the first documented case in law of a man giving birth, and you will treat him as a man. He is a man, and he is allowed to get a divorce. And so now we're back to square one, where we have to see the judge all over again as if this, none of this had happened, and go through the process of divorce.
The same horrible judge?
No, thank God, a different horrible judge.
Oh my gosh.
No, I don't think she's horrible yet. You know, we'll see.
Oh my.
Yeah, the thing is, my ex is pushing for alimony and things like that. So I'm, we're battling it out, duking it out. But as soon as I get this piece of paper that says I'm divorced, then I can marry my fiance and live happily ever after.
Can you share what went south with Nancy? Was it just too much for her? Was it too much for you? Did you just irreconcilable differences? What really happened?
You know, I've known her since 1991, so it's been 24 years, and I was with her from 98 all the way until 3.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. She was my best friend, and I say that every time I do an interview, but it's true.
Yeah.
As much as we don't agree with each other, and we're bitter enemies, I mean, it's War of the Roses, we were very meaningful to each other, and we had kids together, and I want the best for her. She has some issues that she needs to work through, and mostly because of dependencies, and that was ultimately the demise of our relationship. She was closet drinking, and it didn't have anything to do with the media. It just had to do with just private issues, personal issues that she had, and we tried to get help, and it just came to a point where, I'm not one of those people who throws in the towel. When I married her, I wanted to stay with her forever.
Right.
But it got to a point where it was so unhealthy, and, I probably would have stuck it out if it were just me and her, but having kids and seeing how damaging it was to the children, just to, being in the same home with her and the things that would happen, it wasn't in their best interest or mine to stay. So I had to leave. I had to leave for safety concerns.
How are the kids coping with that?
It's hard. I mean, it sucks. I didn't want to be that home, have a split home and have the kids have to go away every week. I mean, I feel like they're human ping pong balls, and it sucks.
Yeah.
But they're young, and they were very young when we split. They were 1, 2, and 3. So, unfortunately, this is their normal.
Yes.
But I try to pump up the good stuff. Like, you've got 2 homes that love you. You get 2 Christmases. You get 2 birthdays, even though you only have one. You get two opportunities to celebrate it. And, just trying to make the best of it. They want us to, they're like, Daddy, but can't you and Mommy and Amber still live together?
Aww.
Like, can't you all just live together? I'm like, how do you explain that? No.
That would be the most unusual version of polyamory, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Although I'm sure it's
both
been done.
Women have my last name, so.
There you go. Oh, my
polygamous.
Goodness. Wow. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, and we have the awesome Thomas Beatty with us today, an American female-to-male transgender. Wow, this is so fascinating, all of this information. My goodness.
Well, I have a question as far as... Oh, sorry, did I...
I was just going to ask about pain tolerance, because he's had both, female and male. Which one has more pain tolerance?
Actually, okay, go with that, because I'm dying to know, and then I want...
And then your turn.
Yeah. So, yeah, how is your pain tolerance?
As a man.
Yeah. Different?
Gosh, I've been told I'm a baby when I'm sick, but I think that just automatically comes with testosterone. No, I think my pain tolerance is pretty pretty good. Like, I've been a martial artist most of my life, and I can put my hand and my feet and my head through boards, so I think I can handle a lot, but I have to say, the process of going through labor, I wanted to die. I wanted to die. I'm like, when is this over? I couldn't.
It's intense.
fathom another contraction. Like, those things are gut-wrenching. They, like, take your insides and pull them out of you. You twist. I mean, it's just like, it is so intense.
Yeah.
I had to crawl into a little hole inside my brain every time it happened. Like, yes. I didn't know. It's like, I don't know.
I can relate. I went naturally. I can't believe you're 48 hours. I was 36. But I felt like I was like in a different universe. Like, I feel like, you know, I felt more bad for the people around me because I felt like I kind of like, you do. It's just like kind of check out, I guess, because it's so intensely painful. So, okay. On a different note, I want to know what the biggest misconception about you is.
I think the biggest misconception would be that I switched back to being female to have a baby.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I was just telling Amber that today, and she said, that thought has never crossed my mind, because we've been together for 3.5 years, and she only sees me as a man, and she thinks that question, that idea is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that you would just transition back to have a baby and that would be the only reason.
It's the thing that I think most people have a hard time understanding about this whole thing. Like, how can you be a guy and have a baby? Like, that's what women do. You know, mm-hmm. That's what they say. But the thing is, I have a very stable male gender identity now and throughout the process of all of my pregnancies. So pregnancy was a process for me to be a father.
Yes.
My wife at the time couldn't have a baby because she had endometriosis and a hysterectomy, so it was physically impossible for her.
Yeah.
And I still had my reproductive organs that I kept for the sole reason of having a family one day.
Right.
And I didn't see removing my organs as something necessary for me to be a man.
Right.
Because your identity is in your heart and in your mind.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Removing my organs would have just made me sterile. Not less of a woman or more of a man, just sterile, so I couldn't have a family. So, yes, it's entirely possible for people who identify as men to physically give birth to children. I mean, I look like a man. I live my life as a man. I identify as a man.
Sure.
The community around me respected me as a man, and I was 100% legally a man, and I gave birth 3 times to boot, you know?
I remember the one question, like, I'll never forget an Oprah when she asked you, and she's like, what's the toughest thing about being pregnant? And it's so funny, and you're like, maternity clothes, because they're all feminine. It was so funny. I always think about that, because it's so true. It's like, you know, so that was really funny. I'll never forget that.
That is hysterical. So where did you get maternity stuff?
Well, I just went out and bought some really big, fat jeans.
And like,
I wanted
shirts.
To get suspenders, but I didn't. I just wore really baggy button-up shirts. And I forget what size waist the jeans were. I mean, they're ridiculous. They look like a tent. But, I had to do it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, I have a really bold question here. Okay,
what's that?
Are you ready?
Oh, no.
Did your penis change in size from going back to from pregnancy and then back, like, with the change in the hormones? Did your penis grow and shrink?
Wow, you're the first person who's asked that.
Yay!
I would like to shrinkage. Remember Seinfeld shrinkage?
You know what? That's a really good question. And I guess there haven't been studies on that, huh? It actually did shrink. It shrank a little bit.
Well, that would make sense.
That would make sense.
Exactly.
I would want to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth about all of this because my burning mind
it did.
Wants
my,
to know.
My sex drive fell off the map. I mean, it didn't exist. I pretty much didn't have sex for 5 years when I was going through the pregnancies and stuff. Yeah.
And after having been with all the testosterone before, with this huge sex drive to go to nothing, that would have been really very strange, I would imagine.
I felt like an alien in my body, for sure.
Yeah, I could imagine. Oh, my God.
Yeah, going back on it, though, I have to say it was a good thing.
Right. Everybody.
I'm so proud of
everybody.
Myself.
Yes, exactly. That's great. And thank you for being so open, by the way.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm
There's
so excited
no way to be.
That after all these interviews, I'm the first one who asked that question.
I know.
Question.
Yeah,
I
you are.
I was just going to ask the standard question, which is, what size is it? But then I thought, no, I really want to know if it grew and shrunk, because that's...
You know what? I think a lot of it has to do with, like, on my testosterone, I'm able to have erections now, and it fluctuates. It's weird. It's like sometimes I can have one and other times I can't, but off of it, no. It's just a nothing. It's just flesh, you know. And on it, it's very has a mind of its own.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Typical guy. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you something hysterical. In one of the blogs that I was writing, and I was writing about depression and getting up from depression, and I go to Big Stock Photo, and you can get these stock photos that you just pay a small amount for, but you can use them. You don't have to get credit for the artist. I type in the search line, I say, up from depression, and a cartoon comes up with 70 penises, hard, standing straight up in the air of different sizes. Up from depression? Really?
Hysterical. Put that on the blog.
I
would have gotten more readers. A different audience.
Hysterical. Oh my gosh. Wow. You know, you're such a brave man. I'm so impressed by you. I really am. But you know, I'm going to say that differently. You're such a brave human, such a brave person.
Yeah.
Just so courageous.
Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, it feels really good when people say such supportive things like that, because, you know, if I don't know if you've ever Googled my name or looked at blogs or, you know, comments from articles and stuff, like, you know, People Magazine will put out some positive article about me, whatever it is, and then you'll see the responses will be like 1,000 comments from just anonymous people, and they're horrible. I said the word horrible.
Horrible. On three. Horrible.
Horrible.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. Oh, it's terrible.
It's disgusting. Really? I mean, the people can be so mean, you know? Like, really? Come on. But so, it does mean a lot when you say things that are nice.
Yeah, well, truly.
Thank you.
And hearing your voice, too, you have such compassion in your heart.
He
and
really
such
does.
Love that
I
you're
know.
Just spreading this beautiful experience on the planet.
Well,
I'm just
I think
so
about
happy
how many lives you've changed.
Yeah.
That's what I think about. I think about how many kids, you know, who are growing up in a very similar situation, and you are their role model, and they are able to transition because of you. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing.
Well, I think all the people that come out, all the private people that come out with their stories, I mean, you don't have to be a celebrity or nothing like that. Just living your life and following your dream and being who you are, that is the most important thing. And I'm grateful that my story was able to reach a lot of people. And yeah, I got a lot of flack from it, but I have gotten positive emails and like Facebook messages and stuff saying, hey, you know what? You changed my life, which is huge.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I've enabled people to have the courage to do whatever it is that they want to do.
Yep.
And it's not like I'm like pro transition, like, you know, everybody transition now. You know, it's not about that. It's just be who you are.
Yes.
And you know, my story is a little different. Giving birth, it has to do about reproduction, and there's a lot of stories of transition in the media, and I support Caitlyn Jenner. You know, I think it's great that she was able to have that platform and be so visible.
Yep.
And on a reproductive sense, I know it's not as popular. Not a whole lot of people really understand. Even transgender people don't really understand. But I think it's important, and I think it's an important dialogue to have. And for the young people out there who are considering transitioning, I just posted a message on my Facebook page about a young trans man who wanted to have children in the future, so harvested his eggs so that he could have it in the future. And I think that is a huge step, because I am so concerned about all these young people who are transitioning at earlier and earlier ages and just kind of chopping off that option.
Like, I didn't think about
you know,
that.
Do any cross hormones too early so that they don't go through their natural puberty, and then they, lo and behold, they can't have kids in the future. And I want more doctors to know about it. I want more resources out there. I want more funding so that people can actually do this one day. Don't make all your decisions now as a child. You're not old enough, you know.
Right.
Have other options.
Yeah, and I think it's very normal for all people during their youth to have various moments where they say, oh, I said it 100 times, I wish I were a boy, I wish I were a boy, and I wish I were a girl. Now I am a girl, I stayed a girl, but I mean, I probably went through those fluctuations. Many of my friends describe the same thing. So how come boys can do that and we can? I want to be a boy. Not that you really necessarily want to go through the change, but certainly coveting, envying, wanting, desiring the opposite gender is just a part and parcel of being a person.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes. I totally agree.
Yeah. Also, Thomas, do you have any numbers for us in terms of how many female to male changes are there with people having pregnancies? Like, you're the guy everybody knows. Like, is there thousands? Is there hundreds of thousands? I have no idea.
Well, I'm not a statistician, but I can't whip a number out.
Okay.
But it's know it's not very popular, although there have been transgender men throughout. I'm not the first transgender man to have a baby, by the way.
Oh,
I am
not.
Definitely not. And being transgender is a state of mind. Like I said before, you don't need to do the hormonal transitioning. You don't need to do the medical transitioning.
Yeah.
Socially, you can live your life as a man, and you're going to be a transgender man, and a lot of people like that have had babies. I'm only the first legal male to do it, and that just opens up a whole new Pandora's box for legal issues and, you know, medical issues and insurance issues and stuff like that. But, I mean, people who identify as masculine or male have babies. It's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not on hormones. If you're not on testosterone, you're easily going to get pregnant if you're having intercourse with a biological man.
Right.
You know?
Sure. Right. That's so interesting. So what are you doing now? I know that you're a media speaker, and can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I'm sitting here giving an interview.
No, good answer.
Right now, I
work at a
nutritional...
The most important thing of your life, being on this show, right?
Right, exactly. That's his biggest accomplishment.
I work in operations at a nutritional supplement company here in Arizona. And in my part-time, when I have time, when I'm not raising the kids and two small kittens, I do writing contributions and I do public speaking.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what is the message that you want to leave our audience for today? We have just a couple minutes, and this is so impressive.
Yes.
Is there something we forgot to ask you, something that's burning on your mind to share?
No pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah, no. What do you want to tell the world?
Exactly, in a Buddha-like statement.
Well, you know, it'd be nice to live in a world where people just love and support one another, you know, and... Mm-hmm. And allow other people to live their own lives and be who they want to be and have respect, follow that. And I think we're almost there. I mean, I think we're evolving as a society.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this day and age, you're seeing a lot more of that. You're seeing more people being individualistic and following their dreams. And I just, one day I'd like to see a world where we can all just be ourselves and have the legal rights to do everything that we're meant to do.
Absolutely.
So you're the pioneer in that,
so
really.
Sweet.
You've been such a pioneer for everybody. So thank you so
much
for that.
You know, I think, too, keeping in mind that most of the time when people are judgmental, it's just based on fear. It's based on naivete and fear and just being rigid in attitude. So, I hope that this show and other people get the message that, you know, when you are being judgmental, stop for a minute. What are you so afraid of?
Yes.
That's really the worst thing that can
inward.
Happen. Look
inward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thomas Beatty, will you please let people know how they could find you if they want to get in touch with you?
I have a website. It's called definenormal.com. And from there, I have my personal email.
Perfect. Thank you so much. You are
such
a gem.
You're a gem. Precious. Absolutely.
So insightful and wonderful. Thank
you so much,
Thomas.
And again, your kids are so lucky to have you. Yes. And is Amber.
Yes, exactly. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Good luck with all that.
I'm smiling from ear to ear right now.
Yay.
Thanks for having me.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Wow.
Okay.
What a great guest. This was awesome. Kelly, how can people find you?
So you can find me at kellymiller.com. That's kellymiller.com.
She did it. You did it.
I know.
Yay.
I've done it a couple times correctly. And then my book is Professor Kelly's Guide to Finding a Husband, and you can find that on Amazon. And how about you, Dr. Deborah?
DrDeborahOnline.com, DrDeBra Online.com, and lots of books and blogs and all kinds of fun things. And we'll just keep the audience questioning what comes up next week.
Yes.
All right, y'all have a beautiful week.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.